You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am so glad that you're here. We want to take a moment and welcome in all those watching online from all around the world. Give them a big warm round of applause if you would. Hey, good morning to you. It may not be morning where you are, but your church family is right here, and we're believing that God has something great for you as you've tuned in to this amazing, amazing service. We want to welcome in all our friends watching from Cameroon. Hello, Barry family, all the way across the pond. Hey, we love you and we miss you. Our friends watching in Fort Worth, our friends watching in Ponder, a bunch of you guys are at a wedding. We're still here and we still love you. It's good to see you. Those that are watching all the way from Gilmer, Texas, just get over here. Just come in right now. We've got another service starting at 12 o'clock. Just get here. For all of our friends watching, hey, from Fort Worth to my parents watching in Mineral Wells, we love you. We're so glad that you tuned in today. Let's give them one more quick round of applause. Come on. As always, if you like what you're hearing today, don't forget to click that share button. It always means a lot to us when you do that. And so in order to give you the best word possible, we have reached all the way to our High Ridge Fort Worth family and all the way from High Ridge Fort Worth. Please stand up together and show some East Texas love for Kristen Utter as she comes to bring the word today. Come on, East Texas.
Hey, Pastor Tim, thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. I don't know about you. I don't know how you ended up in Longview, Texas, but for me, it's on my bucket list. To come to Longview, Texas, let me tell you why. Because I have been a part of the High Ridge Church in Fort Worth since 2017. I came on staff in 2019, and I've been to every single High Ridge Church location except this one. I feel like I'm at a family reunion and I'm meeting all the cool cousins I never knew I had. I'm telling you, my heart is so full and I'm so glad to be with you today to get to worship with you. And how about that worship team today? Come on, can we give it up for the worship team? Man, I felt the presence of God. My faith is stirred. I hope yours is too. I had dinner last night with your pastor, Pastor Tim, and we all know he's funny. He's funny all the time. But let me tell you something, just in case you don't know. Your pastor loves you so much. Your pastor loves this church, loves this community, and they want what is best for you. Can we just appreciate Pastor Tim and Tina? It is such a blessing. Yes. It is such a blessing to have healthy, strong leaders for us spiritually. You are truly a blessed church, and I am thankful to be here. So thank you for having me. When I was preparing for this message, I was perusing the internet, as many of us do, and I came across a statistic that I found very interesting. They released some information at the beginning of 2024 saying that recent studies have shown that among the adult population of the United States, ages 18 and up, 66% of us require either glasses, contacts, or have had some sort of corrective eye surgery to help us with our vision. 66%, that's pushing 70% of the population. I felt like that number seemed a little high, so I thought we would just test the statistic in this place. So if you wear glasses, contacts, or you have had some kind of corrective eye surgery, will you just lift your hand up? Y'all look around. We are blind people. Thank you so much for participating in my study. Now we can confirm that it is true. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for my glasses. I need them. You guys would get a whole different message if I didn't have them on this morning. And I need them now. But when I was a little girl, I didn't need glasses. I just wanted them. There was this girl at church and she was so super cool and she wore glasses and I was like, this is what is missing from my life. Like, I for sure would be a celebrity if I just had glasses. So the next thing I needed to do was convince my parents that I was going blind. So I started to bring on the theatrics, bumping into walls, can't read the menu. I even took a math test, y'all. It was count the dots and then write the answer in the space, and I failed it. And my mom was like, how do you fail a count the dots test? And I was like, maybe I can't see the dots. And she was like, we should probably go get your eyes checked. So we go to the eye doctor and he's got this big apparatus. He swings out in front of my face to see how strong of a prescription it was gonna take to correct my focus. And he starts testing out the lenses and seeing what strength it would be. And he goes, there's a letter on the wall. Just tell me what the letter is. He clicks, I say, D. He clicks again. How about now? O, he clicks again. B, he swings the whole thing open and says, what do you see? And without thinking about my whole ruse, I say, Q. And he goes, yes, it's Q. You don't need glasses. Go home, little girl. And my dreams were dashed for that day. But look, what can you learn from my life? Hang on to your dreams. Look at me. Living the dream. I'm living the dream, making it happen. I was a dreamy little girl. I was a determined little girl, and everything seemed very concrete to me when I was little, and my faith was no different. I went into church with my parents, into what I called big church with the big people on a Sunday, and they were having communion. And so I saw these fancy silver dishes with these little cups of juice and crackers, and I was like, this is the best day of my life. We're having snacks in church. I didn't know big church was so fun. And so I went home and I asked my dad, why did we have snacks in church? That was amazing. And he told me very simply that it was way more than a snack, right? He told me the beauty of the gospel. He said, God created us to be in a relationship with him. And he created a space for us to be that. And then sin came into the world and broke it all apart and separated us from him. And then he said, but God so loved you and me that he sent his only son to pay the price so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. We could be set right with him forever, and we could begin a relationship with him that he had always intended for us to have. And for me, it was an easy yes. I was all in. I went to my little class, learned about water baptism. 6 months later, they dunked me. It didn't take much. I was little. I was like, yes, I'll get baptized. And so I got baptized and I charged into life, full of confidence in my good God who was going to give me a good life. And I started living my life with him. Well, then I got into high school, and about my sophomore year of high school, I met the cutest boy in my history class. And we became fast friends. And then pretty soon we started dating. And then we waited forever to get married. And at the ripe old age of 19, I walked the aisle. We said, I do. And we started our life together. And I went on to college to study music, and he went into his family's business and construction. And after we got a little life under our belt, we turned our attention toward building our family. Now, my good life with my good God, I knew one thing was true. I had a good desire. I had no higher aim than to go out and buy myself a used Suburban and then fill all the back seats with little cute children and teach them about the love and the light of Christ and then launch them into the world to make a difference for the kingdom. And I just knew that God was going to stamp that with his blessing and that my best days were right ahead of me. So you can imagine how discouraged, how disappointed, how disheartened I was when I lost my first pregnancy. In fact, I didn't just lose my first pregnancy. I lost a second and a third and a fourth. I lost four babies trying to build my family. But I had two miracle pregnancies. I gave birth to a little boy named Jacob, and then 3 years after that, a little sister named Kara. Now, Kara from the get-go was full of personality. She just learned language like that. By the time she was 2 years old, she could hold a conversation with any adult. She had this kind of like very keen sense of humor. She could crack jokes and make us laugh even when she was like two. She loved the movie Finding Nemo, and she was obsessed with it, in fact. And there was a character in the show that was like a surfing turtle. Y'all remember him? And he had this very distinctive way of talking. And so she would imitate him when I would talk to her. So I'd say, Kara, you want to go outside and play? And she'd be like, yeah, totally. And she loved to play outside as long and as often as we could. And one summer day, just before her third birthday, that's exactly what we were doing. We were just playing outside when about midday, we heard the unmistakable sound of my husband's work truck. Y'all have a diesel truck, anybody? Y'all know the sound. It makes a big distinctive sound. And we were like, oh, he's home. He's home. So Jacob and I went to put away some toys. But Kara was so excited that she just ran out to greet him. The problem with that was that I didn't know that she had run out. And Aaron didn't know she was coming. And he hadn't come home to have lunch with us, as we supposed. Instead, he had come home to hook up a work trailer, take it right back to the job site. So he was around the back side of the truck hooking up that trailer when she ran out. And just about the time he got that trailer hitched and jumped in his truck and pulled forward to go back to work, Kara rounded the front of the truck. And in the next moment, Kara died. My miracle died. When I lost those pregnancies, I wondered about the goodness of God. But when Jacob and Kara were born, I felt like I held his goodness in my arms. And I felt steady on my feet and in my faith. But now, instead of getting to plan a birthday party for my little miracle girl, I planned a funeral. And I stood over a tiny grave. And I was holding the hand of a little boy, 5 years old, who was now traumatized and suffering from PTSD. And on my other side, held the hand of a husband who I love so deeply, who was grieving so desperately and yet so differently from me, I thought we'd lose each other in the darkness. And I had lost all sight of God's goodness. I just couldn't understand a good God and a good life. And I've come here today to tell you my story, not because of the unique or extreme circumstances that I faced on that day in that driveway. I've come to talk to you about my story because I know that so many of us face something in our life that happens to us or around us, and it challenges everything we've ever believed about God. I know that in this place today, there are those of you who have a question mark in your soul. And you say, I want to believe in God's goodness, but why? Why this? How can I get past this? And so I've come to help you answer a question that the Lord has helped me to answer. And that is, how do we overcome when our life knocks our faith completely out of focus? I can tell you that God showed up in my darkness. And he taught me who he really is. And he showed me what his goodness really means. And that's what I want to share with you today. Everybody say faith. Faith is simply this: confidence in God's goodness. When we come to the Lord, we come in faith. We come in faith believing that he is a good God with a good plan for our life. And that's how I came to him. I think if we want to understand how faith is meant to be, it's good to go back to where we first witnessed faith. So we go back to Genesis and we look at how did God set things up when he had it exactly like he planned it to be? Well, he created Adam and Eve in his image. He put them into a garden and provided every single thing that they needed. He gave them some jobs to do. He gave them some instructions to follow. And they walked and talked with God every single day of their lives. This is what a life of faith is meant to be. We also know that there was a serpent in that garden, right? Serpent slithers up through the garden. And the first thing he does is ask Eve about this God of hers. She says, he's so good. He's put us in this garden. He's given us everything we need. We have all of our needs provided. We have some jobs to do. And then he told us some instructions. There's a tree in the middle of the garden that we're not supposed to eat or touch, or he says we'll die. And then the serpent says to her, you'll not surely die. In fact, in Genesis 3, verses 5 and 6, here's what the serpent said to her. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. And you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. Let me translate. Is your God as good as you think he is? Or is he holding out on you? Are these instructions really for your best? Or is he trying to keep something good from you? And then let's look and see what happened when Eve allowed her focus to shift to what the enemy was saying. It says the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. Who told her it would give her wisdom? Not God. He told her that this fruit would kill her. But because she allowed the enemy to come in and to shift her focus away from her good God and on to this piece of fruit, suddenly the fruit that would kill her looked delicious and seemed like a good idea. So it goes on to say, so she took some of the fruit and she ate it, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. First faith became the first fall, and everything changed from there. And all the enemy had to do was one thing, one strategy, get them to look away and doubt the goodness of their God. Get them focused on something right in front of them and cast a shadow of doubt over the goodness of their God. And he is doing the same thing today. He has no new tricks. When I was at my most vulnerable, the enemy came right alongside me and said, if your God is good, and if he has come to give you a good life, why are you suffering like this? And if I would have allowed myself to be drawn away from the goodness of God, I would not be standing here today. I would not have a testimony for you today. But God, he showed up and he helped me. Let me tell you, if Satan can shift our focus, he can affect our faith. So if we want to have a focused faith, we have to be aware of that shift, and we have to refocus where God wants us to be focused. So we're going to talk today about three focus shifts that will affect our faith. You ready? Everybody say number one. The way we focus on suffering, the way we look at our suffering is going to affect our faith. Now, I was raised in a traditional church. And what I mean by that is that as a little kid, I went to what was called Sunday school. Anybody go to Sunday school? Where are my Sunday school kids at? Oh, yeah. Okay. OG Sunday school kids. Now, let me tell you, I don't know who was in the meeting when they were trying to decide what to call this thing on Sundays that they wanted kids to be super thrilled to go to. And they're like, yay, it's Friday, we're out of school. Oh, it's Sunday, we're going to school? Like, I don't know what was happening in that meeting, but nevertheless, my parents weren't gonna let me miss it, so I was in there. But my favorite part of Sunday school, guys, story time. Story time when my teacher would get out the flannel board. Anybody still with me? Know what a flannel board is? All right, for everybody under 30, I'll tell you what a flannel board is. It's basically a big square of plyboard covered entirely in flannel. And it's not the kind of flannel like plaid like the lumberjacks wear. It's just this powdery blue. And it sets the backdrop for these stories that my teacher would tell. She would take all these paper characters and props that, and she would fan them out along her arm, and she would begin to tell us a story. And on the back side of this paper, guys, were little squares of felt. So when she'd tell the story, she'd be like, and then David and Goliath, and she would wham, slap that thing up there, and it would stick like magic and just float there. I was mesmerized. So I am watching all of these stories, and I'm starting to take notice of something. All these paper characters can only make one expression for the entire story. And so I notice that the characters that love God and follow him, they all have pleasant expressions on their face. They all look happy to be here. And if they oppose God, or they rebel against God, or they're not doing what he wants them to do, terrible, miserable expressions. So I made a quick and easy decision. I will love and follow God. But then I added something to it that nobody said. I just made it up. And it was, and he will make me happy. And so I would read in the Bible, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And without even realizing it, I would replace the word good with happiness. And I would say, oh, God's going to work everything out so that I'm happy. So you can imagine how disillusioned I was when I was in such misery and suffering and hurt. But God never promised us that our circumstances would be perfect and pleasant and happy. In fact, God told us the truth. And if I would have paid attention, I would have known. Jesus said in John 16:33, talking to his disciples, telling them all about the kingdom, he says, I told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus told us, that living in this world, in this broken place that we live, we would have many trials and sorrows. And the goodness of God is not that your circumstances or my circumstances are pleasant and happy. No, the goodness of God is that he is with us, that he is in us, that he has overcome every single thing in this world. And when we focus on the Savior in the midst of our suffering, we activate the overcoming power of God within our lives. And Jesus' resurrection power begins to stir on the inside of us. And we have peace that passes all understanding. And we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we have an overcoming power in our life that will overcome every single thing that tries to overcome us. That is good news, and that is what Jesus has brought to us. But when we focus on our suffering and forget about our Savior, we rob ourselves of the very overcoming power that he is trying to offer to us. So let's shift our focus from the suffering to the Savior. Submit our suffering to him and allow him to do what he's promised to do, bring us overcoming power. That brings us to our second focus, and that is sovereignty. Now, sovereignty is just a fancy word for authority. We think of it associated with kings. You know, they're sovereign, they rule, they reign. And God is, in fact, sovereign. But sovereignty is a bit of a complex theological idea because we have the idea that God is ultimately in authority over everything that happens for all eternity. And yet there are so many things that happen that seem like God couldn't have had something to do with this. Surely God didn't do this. And trying to reconcile all of that is a very confusing place to be. In fact, there are people who are far more educated than me, far more knowledgeable than me, that are still trying to figure it out. So I think it's okay if we stay in the messy middle for a minute. And what I'd like to offer to you is just a far more stabilizing way to look at it. Have you ever been trying to take a picture and you're too close to the object that you're trying to take a picture of? And now we have these such smart cameras that they're like, please back up. You cannot focus on this right now. You know, and it's like trying to help us. And when we back away and pan out and take a broader view, suddenly everything becomes clear. With God's sovereignty, it's very similar. If we look at his authority, the best way to know his heart behind his authority is to see what did he do with his authority? How has he used his authority? Well, the word says in Philippians 2:6-8, talking about Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So what did Jesus do with his authority? He set it aside, his divine privileges. He came down here with us. He lived with us. A perfect sinless life so that he could die on our behalf and redeem us. And then he took his authority up and rose out of that grave with victory. And he said, this is victory now belongs to you. I've won it for you. That is what Jesus did with his sovereignty. He came for us. He rescued us. He set us free from the law of sin and death. That is good, good news. The work of Jesus, it has set us free. And then when I read Romans 8, I look at God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And I read it in context of the whole chapter. And I read that it says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean for us, for the life of faith that we have? Well, that brings me to the final focus shift. How we focus on the salvation that Jesus has brought to our life will affect our faith. It will affect how we live out our faith. We talk about the redemptive work of Jesus, and there's a lot of emphasis on the fact that he came to set us free from sin. And that is good news. Sin I define as the brokenness on the inside of us. It's the part of us that wants to pull away from God instead of pulling toward him, wants to do our own thing instead of obeying what God has for us. That part of us, Jesus came to redeem. He conquered sin when he came and died and rose again, and he's come back with victory for us so that when we give our lives to Jesus, sin doesn't get to rule over us. We follow Jesus and sin is gone. We overcome sin. We live in victory over sin, and that is good news. But that is only part of the good news of the gospel. You see, the Bible says that he came to set us free from the law of sin, the brokenness on the inside of us, and death. I define death as the brokenness on the outside of us that comes upon our life from the outside, that cuts and scrapes and wounds. The things that happened in your life that you never saw coming, that you did nothing to deserve, the wrongs that have hurt you. Jesus didn't leave those behind. Jesus came to redeem us from the law of death. He came so that death doesn't get the final say. In 2 Timothy 1:9-10, it's talking about the beauty of the gospel, of everything that Jesus has done for us. And here's what it says about God. It says, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Hear these next words. Let them really minister to you. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and immortality through the good news. Jesus broke the power of death. What does that mean for our lives? That means that death does not get the final say over my Kara's life. No, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:54-57, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The final word over my life, the final word over your life is life everlasting. Death never gets to gloat over you or stand over you because of what Jesus has done for you. You can stand to your feet and sing a song of victory, and that song will go on and on and on forever, and it will silence the voice of death. What Jesus did for me is bring me back to life. People will say to me, "You're so strong. If I would have gone through what you went through, I wouldn't have made it." And I say, yeah, me neither. But Jesus. You see, I'm not on this platform this morning because of who I am. I'm on this platform this morning because God is who he says he is. Because he can do what he says he can do. Because what Jesus did for us is more than enough. It's more than enough, even if you've been pulled beyond every ability to bear. The Lord can put resurrection life in you and breathe you back to life. The Lord will wake up a song of victory in your soul and you can sing again. I promise you, every smile on my face, every laugh that I let out, it comes from the resurrection power of Jesus. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. He can do it for you. So let's talk about three practical, easy ways. If you found yourself today in a space where you think, I probably need to refocus a little bit in my faith, I could use a little extra strength. Three ways to do it. Number one, come. There's nothing like pain to drive us away from the presence of God. When we don't feel good, when we're hurting, It seems like church is kind of the last idea we have, right? Nobody wants to go to group when you don't feel great. You'll say, I'll go when I feel better, but no. Jesus, he's reaching for you. He's waiting for you. Now, people may lose patience with you, but Jesus never will. He'll always be waiting for you. The word of God says his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. We sang about it today. He's waiting for you. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So we come to him. Number two, we commune with him. That's a word we don't use very often, and I'm sad about it because I really love this word. It just means to stay with somebody, to stay. And how do we stay with Jesus? Well, one easy way to do it, open up the word of God and say, I don't know how to move forward, but I know you can help me. When I was in my most dark days, I kept my Bible right by my bed. I would wake up in the morning and I would say, God, I don't know how to get out of bed if you do not show up and help me. And I would open up this book and I would read it until. I would read it until. And do you know what? He showed up every time. Words jumped off the pages. Words caught into my lungs like breath. And I could live for a little bit longer. And I could keep moving forward a little bit longer. You see, this book is not just an ancient book with stories and poems in it. This book is the very breath of God. And if you will open it and ask him to, he will breathe you back to life by opening the words of this book. So we come to Jesus, we commune with him through his word, and lastly, we connect. We stay in spiritual community. Now, I know what you are thinking, and I am thinking it before you are. People. People. People can be helpful. It's true. People can be hurtful. It's true. And there's a lot of people in the messy middle just bumping around into walls. But people are a very big part of the reason that I healed. I went to trauma therapy. I went to counseling. I kept going to church, and I went into groups. And I've got good news for you. Of all those things that I did, I healed the most in groups. I healed the most in living rooms, sitting around with people who may or may not even know what I'm going through, but they stayed with me, and they prayed with me. And they said, we believe in you, and we believe the power of the Lord will continue to help you. And I am who I am today because women were willing to sit and let me weep and just say, it's going to be okay. We don't know how, but we're going to stay with you until it is. And I've got good news for you today. Groups launch next week. And I talked to Tina last night, and she said there's still a little bit of room. You're going to have to hurry, but there's room in groups for you. So if that's your next step, I hope you'll take it. I hope you'll register and get signed up for a group today because the Lord wants to work in your life. If you could see in the spirit, the Lord is reaching out for you today, and he's saying, come, commune. He's saying, connect. And if you will do that, I will help you refocus your faith. You might have lost your focus on the Lord, but I just want to encourage you that God has never taken his focus off of you. He loves you. He's reaching out to you. He can help you. He can heal you. He can restore you. The question is, will you let him? And I hope your answer would be yes. Thank you so much for letting me share this time with you and talk with you about the word of God and share my testimony. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Tim. Well done.
Wow, one more hand for Kristen Utter and her powerful story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Wow, so many things that we can take away from that today. And I just wanted to give us a chance to maybe respond to what the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you. Would you bow your heads with me as we finish up today? I wonder if we could have a quick response. How many of us would say, I'm connecting really strongly with the story that I just heard? Can I just see your hands all across this place? Maybe some of you are watching online as well. I think for some of us, if we were being honest today, we have part of our story that feels very similar to what she just shared. Where is God when it hurts? Where is God when it's not comfortable? Where is God when the darkness seems to have closed in around me? You heard some powerful truth today. And so with heads bowed and with eyes closed, I want to invite you to simply take our issues to the Lord and ask for healing. I want to remind you that you serve a God who can still heal. And whether those wounds are fresh or whether they're very, very old wounds that haven't been dealt with, today is a day of freedom. So all across this place, or perhaps you're watching online, let's just pray this together. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What is the work that you want to do inside of me and inside of my heart? Are there issues or areas in my life that, Lord, you need to deal with this? I need help. I don't want to continue living my life with this issue. Help me to remember that you are sovereign, that you're good, that you're powerful and mighty, even in the midst of my suffering. What an amazing God you are. Lord, I remind myself of your goodness. Remind myself of your great grace. Remind myself of your power. And I rest in your sovereignty. What an amazing God you are. Father, I pray that you would heal my friends, those that are walking through a difficult season. I pray that this day would be a day of breakthrough. That this day would be a day where we would see your hand in the midst of our circumstances. Holy Spirit, I pray that you begin to do the work to ease the pain and ease the suffering of those that are walking through a difficult season. We give you glory for the victory that is coming. One last thing today. Perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I am so far from the Lord right now. You know, maybe you were even raised in church, but you would say, I've gotten away from God and I need to come home. My friend, you are in the right place. For others, you would say, Pastor, I've never had a relationship with the Lord. I'm not really sure what that looks like or how I would even do that. So whether you have never had a relationship with the Lord or whether you've been away from God and need to come home, this next part is just for you. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. I want to invite you to pray a prayer to make that right today. So if that's you, I'll tell you the words to say, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you to pray with me right where you are. Pray this simple prayer. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe that you came and died and rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I've messed up. And I ask you to forgive me. Come and live inside my heart. Take over my life. I give myself to you. Thank you for what you did for me. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed all across this place, just those of you who prayed that prayer with me, if that was you and you say, Pastor, I did. I prayed that prayer with you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But those of you that just prayed that prayer with me, would you look up at me? And if you would, just go ahead and slip your hand up and say, that was me. I did. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed. Good. I see you. I see you. Yes, young lady. Yes, sir. I see you. Good for you. For those of you that just prayed that prayer, I want you to know that there is a number going to appear behind me on a screen. I want to invite you to text me. Text the words, I pray, to that number on your screen. Maybe you're watching online and you prayed that prayer with me. There's a number appearing on your screen as well. Text me if you would. I'm going to send you the link to some things that will help you understand what just happened inside of your heart and what to do next. This isn't the end of your relationship with the Lord. This is the beginning. And it's the greatest honor of my life to help people know Jesus. Good for you. For everyone else, let's go ahead and look up at me if you would. Then let's stand to our feet together. I'm going to invite our elders and their wives forward to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. If you're watching online, you have a prayer request, type it in the chat. We would love to pray for you. There is no prayer request that we feel like is too great or too small. And so as our service finishes up today, these guys will stay right here to make sure that you get every single thing prayed for that you might need help with. We believe that God still answers prayers, and we would love to make ourselves available for you today if you're willing to do that. I also want to remind you, as we heard earlier, groups are launching next week. And so a lot of those groups are completely full. There's not a lot of space left. And so there's still one service after you. I promise you that that's going to fill up really, really quickly. So there's just a few spaces left. So we're going to need some more people to be group leaders at some point. We need more people to be host homes at some point. If you're interested in that at all, Pastor Paul is the man to talk to. Would you wave your hand? So he is the group's guru, and he would love to meet with you if you're interested in something like that. We believe that growth happens in groups. If you want to grow, you want to connect, you want to go farther with the Lord, you're going to have to get in a group. Sunday morning's not going to be enough for you. So please hear me. We want you in a group. It's going to help you. And even if you say, well, this isn't doing a whole lot for me, it might do a lot for somebody else that needs to see you there. Sometimes you have no idea what God can do just by us showing up. Just show up. What an amazing thing. So I want to invite you to do that. Then also we have our growth track, our membership class that's launching in just a few minutes in the building right behind me. If you're interested in being a part of our church, if you're saying, hey, what do you guys believe? That's all happening right here at 12 o'clock in the room right behind me. And then for everybody else, let me bless you and send you out with an amazing blessing. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week, hearing your voice, following after you all week long. And everybody said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.